All right, welcome to the Aaron Werner podcast on iCode Media. I am really excited because we are quite literally coming to you from almost all corners of the globe tonight. I am in Barcelona, Spain. I'm here with my daughter's soccer tournament. I wanted to take an opportunity to connect with these two wonderful individuals on with me. We've got Dr. Brianna Rue, who's been on the podcast before. You guys all know her from the podcast and certainly from Dr. Contact Lens and the rest of the optometric industry. She is in Florida. And then we have Mariana with us, and she is my virtual assistant that works with Chris Wolf and I, and she is down in Brazil. So we're coming to you from all over the place. I want to just introduce these two individuals and give them a chance to introduce themselves, rather. So, Brianna, we know you, but quick intro for those who don't.
Yeah, hi, everyone. Excited to be here with Aaron and Mariana to talk about this really growing side of our profession. So I have a private practice in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, and then I also have my tech company, Dr. Contact Lens, on really that side of enabling patients to do business with us. And so as we're scaling both our practice and that company, assistants have become a huge part of my success and their success.
Absolutely. And Mariana, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, it's so great to be here. Thanks for asking me. So I'm from Brazil, Rio specifically. I'm 28 years old. I graduated college with a theater major. After college, I lived in New York City for a while. After that, became an English teacher and a personal assistant. And I've been working for team and with Dr. Wolf and Dr. Werner for a couple of months now, and it's been great.
So really excited to have this conversation. We had a previous conversation with Dr. Joe DeLoach and Corey from team, talking about the compliance aspect of having a virtual assistant. It's not a new world, not a new concept for business, but I think it's a pretty new concept for certainly mainstream's new concept in optometry and private practice. And so we had that conversation. I'll link it in the notes for everyone to go back and listen to. I think it was really good. But we want to dive in today to talk a little bit more about some best practices and how we've seen virtual assistants used, how Brianna and I are using them in our practice. And then I wanted to bring the expert, Mariana, on to share some of her thoughts on how her experience working virtually, yet feels like one of the team. Mariana, you and I text via WhatsApp easily a couple times during the week, plus whatever we communicate through on emails. So it's not like the AI virtual assistant that is nameless and does stuff for us. Mm-hmm. You've got a personality. You're fun. We interact with each other. We laugh. We joke. I'm sure you roll your eyes a whole bunch when you're working with me. Probably Chris too. So, but it's been fun. So Bree, let's jump into your practice first. How are you using virtual assistants in your practice?
Yeah, so we had talked about this, Aaron, too, and it really kind of took off in the industry. I was reading the book Buy Back Your Time and realized very quickly all of the things I was doing that was really costing me not only my time, but money and time with my family and all the mundane tasks that really bog you down as a business owner, from email to paying bills to reports that you want to really run your practice. So that's where an assistant has really come in, where I was really struggling on emails and things like that. So that book really helped me get me out of my own way on how to onboard somebody really, really fast in what they should be doing, what you can offload, and really that playbook. So that's what that guy loves to do, is build playbooks. So that's where Mariana and yourself, where we've done this before, and somebody like team helps you do that and get somebody on board really fast. Because I've tried VAs in the past and completely failed because I didn't have a playbook to onboard them or to teach them something. And that's where the value comes in. Is, yeah, you got to take the time to train somebody, but that's also where a lot of things fall apart. So that's what was different with this experience moving forward.
Discovering the impact of Life Meter this year has been truly transformative for motivating my patients with macular degeneration to embrace carotenoid supplements. With this non-invasive device, we can now quantitatively show that supplements are working. Life Meter assesses carotenoid concentration in the skin, reflecting fruit and vegetable intake, and indicating levels in other vital tissues like the retina and brain. Supported by over 30 peer-reviewed publications, Life Meter's accuracy, consistency, and effectiveness have been validated in 2,000 subjects of varying background. What's more, it offers the flexibility to prescribe the best-suited products for each patient. My patients love knowing their numbers and witnessing improvements in as little as a month. Better yet, compliance with carotenoid supplements has surged, doubling our sales of MacuHealth since the Life Meter's implementation. As doctors of optometry, we cannot do what we do without our team. And Paraoptometrics are allied health professionals who assist us in providing the highest level of vision care to our patients. We at iCode Education want to support you and your team in the paraoptometric certification process, which is why not only do we have resources available, training resources available for your team to help prepare them for the test, but we also have a discount code specifically for the Aaron Werner podcast listeners, which gives you $100 off for 12 months. So you can use the code AWP2024, that's AWP2024, to get $100 off for a 12 months code. We'll put the link in the show notes, but you can visit iCodeEducation.com and search for paraoptometric training to see what those courses are like.
But no, I found the same thing after our discussion. In fact, our discussion, Brianna, you and I, on goals back in December, where you brought up the book, really ruined my life for the first couple of months after our conversation, because I didn't realize that I had the problems that I had until you made them clear to me. And then I read the book and I really realized I had problems. That's the first thing that I engaged with Mariana. I said, I need help managing all my emails. I've got 4 different emails. They're a mess. I can't stay on top of them. Just the Buy Back Your Time has a very clear email GPS system.
Yes, it's amazing.
We put into play exactly as is. It's very rare when I follow something as is without changing it, but we followed it as is, right? And if you're watching this, they're both smiling and nodding their heads. And I'll tell you, it is a lifesaver being able to have things organized already when I go into my emails. And Mariana does a fantastic job of reading them, sorting them as needed, responding back to ones, especially the ones that are looking to set up appointments or virtual calls or whatnot. And the individuals who've gotten those call me or text me right away and go, holy cow, that was cool. Right. Because Aaron, I know you, and I would have waited another day or two. Right. But like Mariana's on top of this. And so it helps me get to do the stuff that I'm much better at, which is not necessarily the detail oriented scheduling and moving time around and time management. And so now Mariana, I don't think I've put this in words to you, but she owns my life between 8 and 4. And whatever she puts on my calendar is what I'm doing. And it's been super helpful to follow that. And I think as we continue to work more and more and she starts learning me and my idiosyncrasies, she'll be able to help me be even more, that much more effective. So
to Mariana's credit there, Aaron, so like even getting on this recording, right? There's no way we could have happened. This could have happened with you and I's schedule. So Mariana, like kudos to you on just what you're bringing to the world. I think we have to give a lot of credit there.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
To kind of even build on top of that, when I worked with team and said, hey, I'm looking for someone to help me, and this is what I'm looking for, the kind of help I'm looking with, they said, okay, give us a couple of weeks to, or not a couple of weeks, give us a couple of days, took less than a week to introduce me to Mariana and say, hey, I think we've got somebody perfect for what you're looking for. Here's her skill sets. This is what they do. It's a different skill set than the individuals we have working for you in your office. But this isn't a clinical role. This is a different type of role. And Mariana's been fantastic, not just managing the email and scheduling, but on other projects that we're working with on helping note-taking, helping planning, helping us stay on top of what we need to do and following up and you know, keeping three or four of us organized on project management, which is really tough to do.
Yeah.
She just laughs.
Yes, yeah, she laughs. She's like, Aaron, you're so silly. Right? This is easy. But she's very good at it, right? And she's been able to share her input on some of the projects that we're working on, which is really cool too, having somebody with a completely different background. Because when we're working with a bunch of doctors, and Brandon, I know you know this, you know, we were trained the same way. We by nature, we all kind of think the same way, and we don't see past our blinders unless we're really, really aware of what we're not good at. And having an outside, somebody outside with a different skill set, and you don't want me on stage anywhere. I'm not a theater major by any means. But having her with that background and the English background that she has and whatnot, really just helps shine a different light and different perspective on some of the things we're working on to make it better too. Yeah. So it's neat. So Brianna, you said you have one a virtual assistant that works with you on Dr. Contact Lens, another with the office. What did those two onboardings and hiring processes look like through Team?
Yeah, so through Team, same kind of experience. This was what I was looking for. I interviewed five of them. And then it's really just kind of aligning with where their capacity is as far as like where they want to grow. Because really, I think we all want to grow as humans. We don't, yeah. you got to live in your zone of genius too. So the one at Dr. Contact Lens, I was able to say kind of this is the role. A lot of it's that customer service, little touch points that we needed. And I had my manager there be able to then onboard them, right? So using things like Slack, and again, you got the internet, everybody has the internet,
yep.
And you can move really fast now, whereas before we didn't have those tools like this or Zoom or, you know, to see face to face. So you're really ingrained in people's lives where before we couldn't really move as fast as we can. And that's kind of a blessing and a curse in the same time. And like you said, on the clinical side, there's a little bit different capacity there. So Team is responsible in making sure the Marianas of the world are educated to where we want them to be. Because that's, you know, learning the medical jargon and stuff like that. You got to get them on board fast, whether it's EMR or using Weave or being able to call patients, right? So like my, you know, living in South Florida, people speak Spanish, they speak Portuguese, right? Eu não falo português, but I can say obrigada. And then
that was very good.
We like to go to Portugal a lot. But that's okay if they have an accent, right? Where you're like in the middle of the country, that doesn't go over so well if you're like in Iowa on calling patients. So they're very respectful of your patient base and listening to what you need in that role. And it's really asking your team, your internal team, what's giving them energy? What's sucking their energy? I mean, our phones, which is what gives us business, right? You'll look at it, it's like the Coyote Ugly scene where like the girl's like smacking her gum and the phone is ringing and she's like, like that happens, right? Yeah. And you had all these patients coming into you. So it's just asking your internal team what they want. Insurance verifications, all these things can be offloaded and make you just that much more run smoother for everybody.
Yeah. Way more efficient. Now, we looked at the same thing. It took a while to dawn on me that I was hiring really good, exceptional rather, people, right? All of my team are people. They like to interact with other people. They're people pleasers. They're engagers. They're talkers. They don't like answering the phone. I don't have a single person in the office that loves answering the phone. They'll do it with the eye roll. I mean, I don't know anybody in the office except for maybe my office manager who's very organized, who enjoys doing insurance, but that's not on her to-do list. I've got her working on other things. And so what we discussed is, what do you guys not want to do anymore? And what it really came down to is a lot of the tasks that don't involve reaching out and touching somebody. right? And because we in healthcare, we touch people, we adjust frames, we engage with them, we're working with the diagnostic instruments with them. So really anything that didn't involve, I need to be able to physically interact with you. We've started to move to virtual assistants who quite frankly do them a lot better than my team was doing them because they enjoy the role, whereas my team was doing it because I told them they had to and they needed the job. So they did it. And it's not only helped us be more efficient, but it's helped us be ready for the day coming up. And you know, getting prepared ahead of time, not just the insurance stuff, but we, through VisionSource, we have a Max that helps us calculate copays. I know there's other technologies that do something similar, you know, looking to input data into a system like Dr. Contact Lens, if it doesn't automate directly with your EMR, you know, all the little kind of just nuancy things that get in the way of, I got to help my patient, it's right in front of me. Well, that's easily done by somebody off site. And when we build a personal relationship with them, like we have with Mariana, and I've got Teo and Vina, the two at the office. I mean, I know their birthdays. They join us for parties at the office, albeit via an iPad. But they're part of our culture. They're part of who we are. They have an email for our office. They're on all the goals that we have because they're part of that team. And quite frankly, they participate in some of the successes that we have as well. We want to make it, you know, fun for them because we value their input and we need it. We need their support. So it's been fun engaging in a world economy in our small little office, right? So, Mariana, I wanted to ask you as the star of the show, right? What's been your experience? You know, you've never met Chris and I other than on the phone and the Zoom meetings, but you know, interacting with us, learning with us, kind of learning the new side of optometric business that you've seen us go through. How has it been from your perspective as an employee of Team?
Yeah, it's been going great. It's actually fascinating how much I'm learning about optometry from someone who, I mean, besides having glasses, never knew anything about it. But yeah, it's going great. I mean, even though I've never officially met you guys in person, I do feel like I know you because I have access to your entire lives through calendar, through emails, social media. Like, yeah, I'm managing all of that. So yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it has been. I didn't even think of that part, but, yeah, you help, along with my son, Skyler, you help produce some of these podcasts and the promotion of them. So, yeah, you've got access to all our social media and DMs. So,
yes.
Good thing I mind my P's and Q's.
Do you, Erin? I'm sure she throws in some F-bombs into your email just so they think it's you. Or mine does, at least.
Yeah. Well, she knows who my friends are and who my real friends are. We'll put it that way. that's the kind of people you want to work with. We talk about our offices and our employees being as not employees, but as a family, our office family. And that's the kind of relationship I think that optometry thrives on and is necessary. And so I'm super excited, Mariana, that you are on this because I think people can see that, at least I hope they can see that fun relationship that we have, that we're building and continue to grow together with. I hope I'm not going to get a little personal, but this has come up on Mariana on a couple of questions that I've had in discussions with other doctors. Compensation. We're big on wanting to make sure that, you know, we take care of the people we work with and that this isn't just a job, but it's a profession. So please don't share numbers, but it, you know, what you're being paid as an employee of Team working with us, how does that compare to, you know, what you could be, you know, a job you could be getting comparable, you know, in person down in Rio?
Yeah. I mean, if I would get something like a similar job here in Brazil, I probably would make like less than half than what I do today. And it's because of the currency. Like when you change from dollar to specifically real, Brazilian real, it's almost like it doubles it pretty much. So it's really great, actually, because it would be very, very hard to get something similar with a similar compensation here in Brazil in person. Yeah, so that's good.
Yep. Very cool. And that was something that when I talked with team, I wanted to make sure that you know, we weren't, I hate to say that, use the phrase taking advantage, but I wanted to make sure that we were being on the up and up, right? We were taking care of our world family and individuals wherever they are. And so hearing that from you, and you and I have talked about it before, but I appreciate hearing that and you sharing that with everyone. So I think that is important, that no matter where our work family lives, that we always take care of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I have a question for Mariana.
Please.
Mariana, what do you, because I think too, Aaron, when you finally, not to succumb is the wrong word, but when you start to get out of your own way and you start to let someone in, right? An email can be very personal, right? So, because that's where we really run our lives, and it's this never ending to-do list. So Mariana, where did you feel going into Aaron and Chris, where you're like, just trust me this a little bit more, because you have to give somebody that trust and that's earned along the way. But you're like, I got this, where you're kind of like, how did that flow work? And how can we speed that up a little bit for the listeners?
Yeah. So I started just handling the iCode email with Dr. Wolf, iCode Education, and then social media. And it's actually funny because I had a meeting with him today, this morning, and he just gave me access to his personal email because he heard from Dr. Warner how good it was. And he was like, yeah, so let me just give you the password and then just do what you're doing with him. And then, so yeah, I think it's just, it takes a while, for, you know, each of us, me and him and, Dr. Warner as well, to, kind of like find a flow between us to see, like, because some, like the first time I opened his emails, I was like, oh wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. That's three and a lot of messages all the time. And I was like, oh my, how am I going to figure this out? But it worked really, really well, actually. So yeah, I guess it's just a matter of trying.
Yep, trying and communication. You know, we set what we thought was going to you know, like, here's the roadmap, here's what our game plan is, and then let's touch base. And so for the first week or two, we touched base almost every day. You know, we blocked a half hour the first day or two. It probably was a half hour. After that, it dropped down. And one of the email GPS format or systems is, you know, something to review. So when Mariana got an email and said, I don't know what to do with this, she put it into there so that she and I could talk about it. And that folder now has very little, if anything, in there, because I think what I've come to find out is a lot of the email was pretty standard. And I was worried that she was going to see behind the curtain a little bit. And but as she said, you know, there was a lot and I needed help staying on top of it. It got weird for me opening my inbox and seeing nothing in there.
And right?
That was weird. I'm used to opening up and seeing a ton of unread. And then going through and highlighting all the ones that you need to delete because you just, you know, signed up for some silly raffle and now you got spammed everywhere. But going in and seeing nothing in there was weird. And but I will tell you, going to each of the inboxes, when I click on that inbox, I have a different mindset of what I'm going into that inbox to do. And so it's almost like in the clinic, when I know I'm going into a 5-year-old exam, I've got one brain mindset. When I'm going into a middle-aged person, I'm putting in progressives for the first time, I've got a different mindset. well, now going into my inboxes or my emails, the different folders, I have different mindsets because I know what I'm going to be doing. And I've known that Mariana's already had eyes on it. And so if something's super urgent, that's where I'll start. Otherwise, a lot of it's just things I need to watch or need to know, or somebody's just, you know, looping me in on. So it's, I can think through and emotionally connect in that way, which has been really cool once I got over the fear that nothing's in my email. You know, where did it all go?
And I like to joke that I have a boss now, right? So I came in, it was like a couple weeks ago, Aaron and Mariana, I came in to like 7 back-to-back meetings, right? On a Monday. And that's what we kind of like meeting Monday, like let's bang this out. And then Thursdays is something different so I can like get my work done. So I kind of counted backwards because I opened up Sunday, my calendar to see kind of what the day was going to be like. And I was like, oh, wow, here we go. But I just quickly did the math on how many emails it would have taken me back and forth to figure out a time that worked for them, a time that worked for me, when we were going to get on here. It would have been like 48 emails to get my calendar to look like that, right? Just how much time? Like, that in of itself is bar none the value that someone like Mariana can really bring to you. So that was like my little aha moment on what this has brought to my life.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with that. And I don't know what fears I had looking back now on when we first started with our virtual assistants. We have two in the office. One is a scribe, which she sits on the iPad and just follows mostly Dr. Brittany around, but follows the doctors around and is in the notes while we're in the notes. And you can see her updating them in real time, which is neat because you don't have to have that weird interaction with a patient where I'm not looking at you, I'm looking at a tablet. I'm losing that personal touch. Plus she knows what to listen for, and so she can dictate down what we're saying. And if we miss something, you know, she'll ask back. We'll have a conversation. Secretly, it's also kind of nice because the side conversations don't happen nearly as much, right? The pictures of the dogs and the grandkids and everything else show up. They just don't last as long when we've got Vina in the room with us on the iPad. And so it helps keep us on time for flows. Our other virtual assistant started doing insurance and back office stuff, and he's done so well. He'll start answering the phones for us in the next week. I believe he's getting trained on answering the phones, you know, scheduling appointments and all the things that, you know, we need help with because I don't have enough people free to answer the phones constantly. And obviously Mariana is completely separate. And we just talked last week that, you know, we're going to start working on teaching her QuickBooks and helping me enter in all the different bills and different things that we have coming in on QuickBooks, just to help save time there and really have another set of eyes to make sure that it's a different check, that I'm not missing something or whatnot. Oh, it's cool. Going back to the EMR with the scribe in the room, we use Eyefinity EHR, and the iPad input on the Eyefinity is really neat. The desktop input is a little bit more challenging. So we had Vina buy an iPad and just reimbursed her through the through the payment process, which is really easy. So now she's interacting the same way we are, and if she finds a shortcut, she'll show us, and it's pretty cool. It's 100% just like having another physical body in the room, just not quite in the room.
I love that. So,
yeah, it's cool. I'm curious, what EHR do you use, Brianna?
We use Crystal Practice Management. Okay. Yeah, but I've worked with a bunch of them now. So it's interesting, too, and just like how all of us are really kind of out of space in most of our practices. So adding another scribe, because I was a scribe, that's actually what I did before I went to optometry school.
Really?
So grew up kind of in optometry and know the value of a scribe. I haven't gotten there yet. So that's kind of my next venture here to like push, because my mom made me take a typing class in high school. So I'm a super fast typer. But again, that's something where I think I'm getting in my own way to really be more effective with my patients.
Yep. And we've noticed that, and I'll pick on Mariana because she's on the call with us, but on some of the projects that Chris and I and others are working on, you know, what data management system, what flow system is going to help with this? We've played with Google, we've played with Monday, we've played with a couple others, and her input on, hey, I think this one's going to be better knowing you guys, or, you know, we can try it, I can run this, we can run it this way, has been really cool because we've got lots of ideas and none of us are afraid to get our hands dirty and put the work in, but the staying on top of it and managing it, and especially with all of us together, makes it that much more challenging, and schedules are a nightmare. You mentioned it earlier. So having a project coordinator that's really good at making sure none of the balls get dropped is amazing. And, you know, I don't have the time to evaluate all the different task-based tracking programs. You know, Mariana knows them all and can work with us to find what's the right fit. So having that outside help, that, like I said, the different set of eyes, and that other person just to be part of the family.
Mm-hmm. I've actually never worked harder in my life, now having an assistant. Yes.
But working smarter, right? I'm working harder, but less.
We busy. Are. We are. That's the fun part.
Yeah.
We are.
Right? I get to work on the stuff we want to. And I think it was also that call that, or the conversation we had, Brianna, that back in December, that I realized busy was a bad word. Before it was I was proud of how busy I was.
Yep.
Right? But I think busy was just... Yeah. The really good looking word to say, I'm trying to keep all sorts of balls up in the air and hoping that the only ones that fall are rubber and bounce back up and not glass and break. Right. And I'm putting my kids to bed, spending time with them, but then going back and working on the computer late at night and, just spending my time on things that I'm not the best at. So I've enjoyed working just as hard, if not harder, but smarter.
Do you find, so you've now been working with them for quite some time, right?
Yeah.
How has that improved your life and kind of where you want to go in the world?
Yeah, I mean, it's been going great, actually. So I started working for Dr. Wolf beginning of February. So actually, if you look at it, it hasn't been long. But it feels that it has been. Yeah. And it's just, I just really enjoy learning something new every day. And it's been very fulfilling for me. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, Erin, I had asked her kind of how has this helped her along her path where she wants to go. Ooh.
I think it's been a fun journey for all of us. So sorry about the technical difficulties.
We got you, man.
You guys do. So I'm curious, Brianna and Mariana, in talking with other colleagues, either other doctors that are working with virtual assistants in their practice, or Mariana, other virtual assistants that you may know, within the team network. How are you seeing virtual assistants fit really well into different systems? What are some of the best practices that you're seeing?
So can you share with us some best practices that you've been able to implement with Dr. Werner and Dr. Wolf along the way?
So with Dr. Wolf, we've been... like when you say implementing, like.
Yes, some best practices. So was it like a training? So he was talking about the half an hour in the morning that you guys blocked, and now it's maybe 15 minutes every 2 days. How did he get you guys, how did you guys get up to speed together really quickly? Because I think that's where we get in our own way, where we think, okay, another person that I have to sit there and train, right? So what are some best practices that we can share with the listeners maybe it takes you 2 weeks and then now that 2 weeks was initially hard, but there's no way we could go back to doing it the way we were doing it before.
Yeah.
So what was that first 2 weeks like?
Yeah, so for Dr. Wolf, we pretty much had a really long meeting on the first couple of days. So he made sure I had access to everything, all the emails, all the social media, login information, passwords. And then gradually, we talk pretty much every couple of days on text messages and emails. But usually once a week, we have a meeting where we talk, we talk about what needs improving, what happened during that week, how can we make it better. And he's always asking me for new ideas, like, what do you think we should do? Like, how do we improve this part of social media, like of Instagram or LinkedIn, or even the podcast episodes? And then with Dr. Warner, I think it was pretty much the same way. We had a long meeting once or twice in the beginning, and now we talk through text messages and emails, and then we do a longer meeting at the end of the week or beginning of the week.
Love that.
Yep, I think it's like hopefully the internet now where I'm at is better. The moved into the hotel room, but I think it's building the relationship, right? Finding what works for both of us and finding how we communicate best. I had no idea that we were going to communicate initially as much as we do via WhatsApp. But that's really neat when, if something comes in that's urgent, she'll send me a message real quick. Like, hey, I need you to do this. Or, hey, I've got two options to schedule a meeting. I'm not quite sure yet which one's best for you. Let me know. So that's really cool as well, because I think that the world communicates via text message more than anything. And that real quick, sentence or two question is something I never thought we would incorporate into, and has now become a staple in our communication.
Yeah.
So, no, it has been a journey, and I don't know what I was afraid of initially. In working with virtual assistants, I think it's probably the unknown, and that's some of the maybe the optometry background. I think as a community, we're a little bit of afraid of the unknown sometime and change. But we've had zero drawbacks. I was worried my in-person team would be upset. My in-person team absolutely loves the expanding family that we have, and not because they're doing work that they don't want to do themselves, but they've become part of the team. They've incorporated them into the team. They have conversations with them on their own, and they schedule the in-office birthday parties around when the virtual assistants can make sure that they're in, because they need to be part of it as well to celebrate with us. So it's been fun to see that. I thought patients wouldn't like it. Patients all seem to appreciate it. They love the concept, and then when they get to see the person in the office, when they get to interact how we're interacting now, visually and verbally, maybe COVID changed that, and we're past the I'm not okay talking with somebody on a computer screen, whatever it is, but it's been positive for all stakeholders.
I love how fast too you and I really adopted this concept, just based on really essentially that book. So it's been fun for so many of us to get a hold of it so quickly, and then just really see, Aaron, how slow we are to kind of evolve into this arena, but how quickly we've both done it, because this is really new for both of us in the last, 6 months, 3 months?
Yeah.
And just the positive change I've seen, not only in my mental space, but really getting to do the things that bring me joy. So now I'm a better mother, a better wife, a better person to myself, a better friend, all those things have really, really inspired us to kind of share this story. for other people. Because I think as physicians, I was just at the Vision Council meeting, at the Vision Summit at Vision Expo, and they were talking about artificial intelligence and all these things with, like, ChatGPT is not artificial intelligence, you guys. Like, that's all that they were really kind of talking about. But it was the two takeaways from there was the pessimistic story that we tell ourselves, right? It's super easy to write a pessimistic story. So somebody gets a hold of your email, they go in there, they scrape everything, and you're done, right? Super easy to write, because it means that you don't have to evolve or change something, and you didn't put guardrails on it. The optimistic side, yes, it's a little uncomfortable in the beginning, right? Having somebody get access to things, but you have the two-factor authentication and 1Password and things that you can do to set yourself up for success. It's harder to write the optimistic story because it means that you have to get uncomfortable. You have to evolve. You have to change. So the big takeaway from there was really as the burnout, and I hate that word, it's just not feeling valued, right? We haven't gotten a raise in how long for these plans. Our team members want raises and they want these bonuses and they want these things. Where does that come from? It means seeing better patients, doing better things with our time, leveraging our information, leveraging the data, using our EMR systems like we should, right? But we can't do that ourselves. So the Marianas of the world, they're so capable of these things. And I think that's where getting out of our own way, Dr. Werner, is really just the start. So,
For sure.
I love that question where you're like, what was I scared of? I just don't think we didn't know what we didn't know. And that was just I think I also got a book. I didn't really finish reading it, but was I think it's called like Email Should Die or something like that. bogged down. But a lot of these things was, it's scheduling. Does this need to be an email? Mm-hmm. Could it be a quick text? Like these never ending to-do lists that are not your own to-do lists, right? It's somebody else passing the buck where we can move a little more methodically to the approach.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I want to give you credit too, because seeing your success and working with via email, you know, your virtual assistant, Brianna, and, really said, oh, well, it, not that if Brianna can do it, I can do it, but, right? But nope, seeing somebody else successful, like, okay, I see this in action. And I think the two main motivating factors for me, one was the All It Takes is a Goal book by John Acuff, and starting to keep your best moments list and categorizing those, because I don't think that I realize that I value relationships as much as I did. I thought I valued being productive more and accomplishing tasks, but all of my best moments had people in them. And then realizing that, you know, the emails and some of these other tasks that I'm not really good at and kept getting distracted by or during them, so they took longer, were getting in the way of what I needed to do. And, you know, the ChatGPT's AIs, it's too impersonal for me, so I haven't gotten there yet. Sorry, Haley Perry, but I haven't gotten there yet. You know, I'll be slower to the game on that one. But seeing that working with, with assistants like yours, and then, pulling the trigger and saying, okay, we can do this. You know, worst case scenario is we just say it wasn't working. But after meeting Marianna for the first call, I knew that it would, as long as she's willing to still engage with me, right? This is a long-term process and a long-term relationship. And you've seen it, just how much fun she is to hang out with and how smart she is and all the cool things that she's teaching me. So it checked off the happiness box or the relationship box for me. And it checked off the, hey, I can offload some of the things I'm not good at and work better on the things I am at, because she's better at those things than I am anyway.
Marianna, can you talk about like the time zone difference? Because we've been like my team for Dr. Contact Lens, like I have people like our development team. That's really kind of where I got my feet wet with this. Talk about like the time zone and then really kind of that work schedule, how that works with you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now with your daylight savings, we are 1 hour behind New York. So EST time, standard Eastern time. So it's like 4:50. And then for Central time, which is for Dr. Wolf, it's 2 hours. So I'm 2 hours ahead of him. And then for Dr. Warner, I believe it's 4. I think so. Yeah. It used to be 5 and now it's 4.
Does it?
So yeah. Yeah. It works pretty well for me. It's not a lot. It's not like a huge time difference. So, because I was a little afraid of that in the beginning, especially when they told me that Dr. Warner was in California. So I was like, oh, that's going to be a little bit difficult. But it's not, actually. It's just a matter of adjusting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we worked through and talked through when best times were that mm-hmm. I really needed, some eyes on emails when the important ones usually will come in. And mm-hmm. And so just, again, having that conversation and working through what's going to be best for both of us was pretty easy. And it's been cool. And the other thing that we haven't hit on, I think we touched a little bit about when I talked with Corey and Joe, was the working with team. There's a lot of things initially, and we found this more through the office, that we just didn't know how to problem solve. How am I going to get them to answer a phone call? How am I going to securely have them engage with patients over email, or how are we going to communicate via text? I mean, if you're not used to this technology world, there's a lot of things out there and you just don't know where to go. So having an individual that's a manager, if you will, for the team VAs that knows that world. So on in the optometry practice, we've got Carrie, who's the manager. So if we don't know the answer, if Teo doesn't know the answer, we reach out to Carrie and say, hey, here's the problem that we're up against. Here's the hurdle. Help us get past it. And it's her job to help us find the solutions and get past things. So you're not, stuck without a rudder, two people trying to figure out how to navigate this ocean. Right? You've got a whole support system behind you. And I know that that the VAs have that resource as much as you and I do, and we're looking to work with them. So it's neat having that individual on both sides. And in fact, on the optometry side, one of the trainers with team worked in a very large, very successful optometric practice. And she was responsible for all of their training of the staff, the non-doctor staff, and getting them up to speed, whether they were new opticians or new technicians or whatnot. And so working, she brings that knowledge to the optometric side of the team virtual assistants to say, hey, if you're going to be joining an optometric practice, how can we help train you? How can we help to develop you? How can we work with the practice so that you have the skills you need and to help them, and they understand, how best to engage you so that everybody wins. So, all right. Well, I have cut out twice now, so my time clock is off. I don't know where we are for total time, but we're probably getting close to that hour, and I want to respect everybody's time. So Brianna and Mariana, thank you guys both very, very much for making time for this conversation. I think that it's, we could go down hours and have lots of different ideas on best practices. But I really wanted to help the listeners, meet both of you again, Brianna and Mariana, for the first time, to just continue the conversation about, what we can do, how we can really help take care of our patients better, help take care of ourselves better, and help take care of our teams better and grow our teams in a very positive way where, everybody has an opportunity for professional development and just a chance to better themselves, better their lives, and be happier.
Did you get your whiteboard, Dr. Warner?
I did get my whiteboard.
Here's mine. Here's the OG whiteboard. Where is it? Over there.
There it is. I love it. It's empty.
Need some more planning there.
The whiteboards. And I bought a bunch of little sticky notes that I can just write like my goals off.
Love it.
Or like my to-do list. It's really, really satisfying to take that and crumple it up and throw it on the floor. much more than just crossing it off my little piece of paper. So yeah, finding ways to work with it and brain dumping on that whiteboard. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you're a bad influence, Brianna. Get me to make all sorts of changes.
Evolution, not change.
Evolution.
We're evolving.
You're getting me to evolve a lot. Well, my wife will thank you for that. She'll probably get a hold of you and tell you all the other things she needs me to evolve to do now.
Oh, God. We're going to have to. That's a whole nother podcast.
So,
I love it.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you guys very, very much. If anybody's listening, interested in team, we'll put that link in the show notes, as well as that, excuse me, the link for the previous episode that we did with Corey and Joe DeLoach. And I'm going to link back, Brianna, the goals episode you and I did, because that, I think, was the kickoff for a lot of this movement, right? It's a fan, despite weirding out listening to myself, it's a fantastic discussion. And I still can't listen to myself. It's weird. But lots and lots of really good stuff. Mariana, any last parting comments for everyone?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, working with Dr. Wolf on the podcast, I never thought I would be a guest on one. So yeah, it's been great. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're happy to have you. Brianna, any last parting thoughts?
No, I think too, it's just figure out where you're spending your time. Ask your team in office what's giving them energy, what's not. And yeah, team, the team that is obviously here that we're talking about, they're a great resource, and they've been in this industry for a long time. So they know how optometrists work. They know how to get us out of our own ways. So really figure out the tasks that you can offload to improve yourself and your patient care.
Yep. 100%. Well said. Awesome. Thank you both again. And look forward to catching up with you next time.
Sounds good. Thank you. Obrigada.
Thank you.